Good morning and welcome to Community Watch and Comment, the Wednesday edition. Of course, we're in our fun drive here at WPFW, or your Jazz and Justice radio station. And we have two special guests for our fun drive hour. Yoruba Richin is the director of The New Black. It's a documentary about lesbian and gay issues and the black church and what happened during Maryland's campaign on a referendum of same-sex marriage. Then in our second half hour, we have, fitting with our theme, Peter Levine. He's the author of a book called We Are the Ones We Have Been Waiting For, The Promise of Civic Renewal in America. All that in this hour after a brief break. And you're back. You're listening to the Wednesday hour of Community Watch and Comment, but we are in our fun and membership drive. You are the ones we've been waiting for. We have two special guests in the first half hour. Yoruba Richin is the director and filmmaker of a documentary called The New Black. It is a exciting documentary, and it tells the story of how the African-American community is grappling with gay rights and in a recent gay marriage movement and fight over civil rights that occurred in our listening area in the state of Maryland. The film documents activists, families, clergies on both sides of that issue in the campaign to legalize gay marriage, and it examines homophobia in the black community's institutional pillar, the black church. Ms. Richin, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I am great, and I'm so happy to have you this morning. You are an award-winning documentary filmmaker. You've worked with the news program Democracy Now!, which is carried here on Pacifica.
That's right.
And you've done a number of really intriguing films. Sisters of the Good Death, which is a documentary about the oldest African-descended women's association in Brazil. Mm-hmm. You've done a film called Promised Land, which talks about the attempts of two black communities to recover land from white owners in post-apartheid Africa, and now The New Black. And The New Black has a very, very distinct story. It starts in one night in 2008, right after the national elections. Can you tell us how you got started with the film?
Sure. Well, the way the film starts is actually the way that I started conceiving of the film. It was election night in 2008, and Barack Obama was elected president. And at the same time in California, the Proposition 8 was passed, which banned gay marriage in the state. And at the same time, we had this huge moment for African Americans. There was this huge defeat for LGBT and folks who, were working on marriage equality issues. And the thing that was kind of, besides the sort of elation and disappointment of, the same feeling at the same time, the thing that happened next is that African Americans started to be blamed for the passage of Prop 8. And I wanted to see why that was happening and how these two minority groups were being pitted against each other. And of course, in that, Black LGBT voices were left, you know, left out in the cold. And that's how I started the film.
And with that start, you used the experience of personal lives. We get a look at two very important activists. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah. So I started shooting in 2010, and I started following some of the work that was happening around elevating Black LGBT voices, around working with, you know, traditionally white LGBT groups to sort of repair this relationship that had been fractured. And in early last year, in 2012, the Maryland passed gay marriage, and the legislator passed it, the governor signed it, and then the opposition got enough signatures to put it up for referendum. And that's when I started following the Maryland ballot initiative. It was interesting because, you know, the opposition was led by a Black minister. So it really brought into focus all of the pieces that I had been following and shooting over the last couple of years, kind of all came together in Maryland.
And I was privileged to see the documentary. It is, again, indeed very, very exciting. One of the characteristics, particularly with this issue, is there's a sense of fairness and just very real-to-life speaking on the part of everyone involved, and that's very much appreciated. It really does get at the underpinning of what motivates people, and you have many, many different scenes, but there's some things that are conveyed that are very interesting. How the role of the Black church is still very pivotal and very central in many, many African-American communities across the country. As you said, the minister that led the effort against the proposition that approved and eventually became law, same-sex marriage, was himself involved in a faith community, and he had his own commitment about family and the nature of society. Mm-hmm. The activist, Karis, and forgive me, I'm having a mental freeze, but I'm trying to remember the other activists as well.
Samantha,
forgive me.
No worries.
And we'll get to Samantha a little bit later as we talk, because there's a screening at the West End Cinema tonight at 7 p.m. of your documentary. So as I was saying, one of the very nice things about the film is you really get to see people kind of display their rationale and their convictions and how it's attached to their lives. One particular focus is also on the head of an organization called the National Black Justice Coalition.
Yep.
And that is Sharon, I'm
Letman
forgetting.
Hicks.
Pardon me?
Sharon Letman Hicks.
Sharon Letman Hicks, that's right. And we really got to see a great deal of their day-to-day living.
Mm-hmm.
What's your hopes in the documentary going out and being seen by various audiences?
Well, one of the things that you just touched on, you know, is that I really wanted to show how the personal is political and how the political is personal. So it was very important for me to get the intimate family gatherings, the conversations between, you know, about this issue that's happening in our community in diverse ways. So that's very, very important. That was very, very important for me to have in the film. And I think what the film has been doing and what we wanted to continue to do, me and my great team, is that it can foster those conversations that are difficult. It helps to foster those conversations that are difficult to have around issues of sexuality and around issues of race. And, you know, we have, the reaction has been amazing. People watching it and seeing, you know, some people have said to me they felt like they've seen their, you know, their family and themselves for the first time represented on screen. And, you know, I just feel really proud of that, because we as African Americans don't get to see ourselves in all of our diversity often. So, you know, it's, I think the film can foster conversation. It can, you know, possibly be, a part of institutional change. I mean, it's change that we see that's happening and continuing to, that will continue to happen, in terms of LGBT rights. And, you know, and also to get people to think and to rethink. With their notions of, you know, of black, of the black LGBT community and of the black community around this issue.
In fact, that's a delightful part of the film, where we see Samantha and Carice, walking the streets of Baltimore and talking to young men who proudly said they registered to vote. And so they asked them about the proposition. One says he's not going to vote for it. And the other one, joins Carice in reasoning with him.
Yeah, totally. It's one of my favorite scenes. And, you know, that we just captured on the day that they were doing canvassing in Baltimore. And, you know, I think that these guys that you see, you know, would, you know, be, some people would dismiss them as like, oh, they're not going to be for, you know, for gay rights. We're going to ignore them as voters. And Cress and Sam, you know, what, and part of what worked in Maryland is that they really were on the streets talking to people and engaging people in our community around this issue and leaving no one behind, you know, even when they, did, even when folks didn't agree with them, but, you know, really trying to engage them and talk to them, about this issue and what it means for black people.
So, listening audience, we've unpacked, this exciting documentary, The New Black, again, about the gay rights issue in the black church and what went on in our neighboring Maryland. If you want to see the documentary tonight, we have, due to the generosity of West End Cinema, a pair of tickets. We only have a limited amount. And if you call and pledge and become a sustaining member at $125, again, become a sustaining member at $125, you will receive one pair of tickets for tonight's 7 p.m. showing of The New Black. That's at the West End Cinema, 23rd and M Streets, 23rd and M Streets at 7 p.m. tonight. So in order to do that, you need to mention the film and call, well, call first, obviously, 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. We only have a limited amount of pairs of tickets. The person who will answer the phone will give you instructions about what to do. And again, that's for a $125 sustaining membership. That's through the generosity of the West End Cinema. And the it's the start of the Human Rights Film Festival for 2004, the Human Rights Watch Film Festival. And every Wednesday at 7 p.m., there will be a film. The New Black is the debut film starting off the festival. Every Wednesday at 7 p.m. at West End Cinema, and as we go along, I will give you more information. So, Ms. Richin, we're having a... Buzz on the line, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I wanted to go on and ask you about some of the reaction. You've screened the film at various film festivals. How do people react to the film?
Well, the reaction has been pretty, you know, really emotional, which has been great. People have felt... you know, very emotionally connected to the issue. It's really, you know, one of the first times we're seeing it's this LGBT issue debated in the black community on screen. So the conversations that we have around the dinner table and in our churches and schools, you know, are reflected in the film. I've also had people who, you know, are not sure where they stand around this issue for religious reasons mostly, and they have also been affected by the film and, you know, told me that they feel, even though, you know, they're not, you know, necessarily for LGBT rights, they feel that this is a conversation starter and they're willing to have the conversation. And that, to me, is kind of the most exciting thing.
Well, speaking of willing to have the conversation, Sharon Lettman Hicks, who's the executive director and chief executive officer of the National Black Justice Coalition, and Samantha Master, who is the activist that's featured in the film, they'll be present at the West End Cinema for questions and answers. And they're very, very gracious people, and it's really an added value to seeing the film. I just want to remind listeners once again, for $125 sustaining membership, you get a pair of tickets. We have a few pair to offer you, but there's a limited amount. That's for tonight's screening of The New Black at 7 p.m. at the West End Cinema at 23rd and M Streets. It kicks off the 2014 Human Rights Watch film series that's going on every Wednesday at the West End Cinema. Ms. Richin, we talked about the willingness of people to listen to each other and develop and rethink their concerns about this issue. Have you yourself had any further thoughts, any signs of hopefulness as far as, again, interacting with the audience and the public reception of the film?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of hope and energy around the, around the LGBT rights issue. The New Black, for me, what the title means is really the new Black activists that are, you know, working within our community to advance equality. And the new, as I said, the new conversation that's happening. And the thing that's been, that people have said to me at the screening is that, you know, is people from who are part of churches have said to me, you know, our church is almost at the point where we can talk about this. You know, we're almost there and we need the tools to be able to do it. And that's where, you know, and I think that that's very hopeful, that, you know, that this is a, I think it's evolving. It's an evolving issue for not just the Black community, but for our country, as we see. And in places like the church, that there is a sort of new willingness to engage. In some places, you know, it's not like everything's peachy keen and hunky dory, but that there's new inroads, and that gives me hope because that's the beginning.
And watching the film, and as somebody who's pretty active both in public policy and in church situations, I do feel the same hope in seeing the film. I think most viewers will feel the same, regardless where they're coming from. One of the things that's very, very interesting is in these conversations that people have between each other, they pretty much kind of, in respect, display why they have the convictions that they do when they're talking to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And I really would like our listening audience to experience that through the documentary. You have graciously offered to one lucky caller a copy of the DVD, The New Black. That can be obtained, folks, if you call 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. But we're asking for you to make a pledge and become a member at $65. That's for this limited half hour call. And that number again is 202-588-9739. And you may be the lucky person to receive a copy of The New Black for your $65 pledge. Ms. Richin, the other thing that goes on in the film is you have some very notable leadership throughout Black communities. Julian Bond is in the film. The President Barack Obama, one night when he was interviewed, I believe on ABC, really cited theological reasons. He cited Christ's suffering for everyone and the golden rule, do unto others or treat others as you would treat yourself. What do you observe of Black leadership on this issue?
Well, I think that there has been, I mean, starting with our president, you know, amazing proclamations and laws changed around, you know, that have that have helped to, you know, advance the LGBT struggle. I mean, Barack Obama, even before he did that, he came out for gay marriage. He got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Then he came out for gay marriage. And then the Justice Department, led by Holder, they think this is just last weekend, that LGBT rights are, you know, as central to advancing for the Justice Department as civil rights. And of course, Holder is African American. So I think that there has, and then of course, you know, the NAACP has embraced this. Reverend Al Sharpton, other leaders, Julian Bond, as you just mentioned, have spoken out. But this is something that is not necessarily new. I just think we're hearing more voices. For example, Coretta Scott King, before she passed, she spoke out for LGBT rights. This is, you know, Bayard Rustin. We have a history here. And I do think that, you know, the voices are growing, like, again, like in every other community. So, you know, we are in step with where, you know, with this evolving and this move towards further equality.
And that's been the commitment also of this station here at WPFW. We're joined by our program director, Tony Bates. Good morning.
Good morning, David, and thanks for having me on the program. And, you know, this is a really important discussion for us to have, and especially we on the left, and black folks particularly on the left, where the church is so intertwined in our body politic and the way we make decisions about political ideologies and the way that we make voting decisions. And so we look at this, we come to this issue with a history as black folks that has been, well, I don't want to use that word, but with a history that has been colored by the church itself. And this film takes a look at that, gives us the opportunity to see how we are interacting and what's changing within the context of our own community. And it's an important, important discussion, folks, and one that we want to put forward. And I want to remind you that this discussion is not held in this kind of long form and respectful way on most media that you hear it. It's either pejorative, it's people yelling, it's people disagreeing. In this forum, on a Pacifica station at 89.3 FM, we can have this conversation with respect for both sides, with an understanding of what's happening, and with a conversation, which is what the film seeks to do. The New Black, we have tickets available to you at the pledge level of $120 for as a sustaining member. $125 as a sustaining member. We will get you a pair. You can get in there tonight before the snow begins and get back home, watch the film, and become enlightened. It's something that we must discuss. You know, I grew up with a cousin who is gay, and in my childhood, we couldn't talk about it, or he was beaten. And as we became enlightened, things changed. My little brother is also gay, and the family is completely accepting at this point. My older cousin had a different experience because our family was so religious. Now that we have evolved in our thinking, we have a different discussion around these issues, and there isn't that same kind of contention that was there when my cousin was a young boy. And so it's great now for us to have as a community this discussion, and it's been put forward here in this film, The New Black. You can get a copy of the film for a pledge of just $65 at 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739, or if you want to sustain us, and that means that you put this pledge on a credit card, and over the next 12 months, we'll take out just $10 a month at the $120 level. We'll take out $10 per month, and you won't even notice that it's gone. You'll get to go and enjoy the film tonight. We will need that, obviously, be on a credit card because it's going to come out every month. But you will have done your part for the next year to have supported free speech at 89.3 FM.
Again, for $125, becoming a sustaining member, that means a little bit is taken out at a time. You can secure a pair of tickets for The New Black, the documentary on the gay community, gay issues, and the black church, and what's going on throughout the black community with families, activists, friends, and others. That's for a $125 pledge. Call 202-588-9739.
And we want to thank West End Cinema for that generous donation. The film is screening tonight at 7 p.m., and West End Cinema is at 23rd and M Streets, right up the street from us, or right around the block from us. And you must give us an email when you call so that we can get the information to you. But make that call. Pledge your support, especially if you're among this community. Maybe you're like me and you have gay folks in your immediate family and this discussion is still something that needs to be held. It might help to enlighten someone who hasn't seen the light as yet, at least to begin this conversation, to open the discussion within the context of family or maybe even in the context of your church. You may need to have this conversation. You know, I was so disappointed, David, being in L.A. when Proposition 8 was not passed. And in that case, it was the Mormon Church and the Catholic Church putting money in, but they focused their efforts at black folks because they knew that we have this connection to the church in a way that they were able to stop that Proposition 8 from passing, which was a gay marriage bill. But they were able to stop it from passing by focusing their efforts and their money in the black community very specifically. And this is something that we need to be more enlightened about as black folks in general.
Well, Tony, your last comment implies a way forward. And I'd just like to give a quick opportunity for Ms. Richin to say, what do you see as the way forward? You've made a marvelous documentary. It is really accessible to everyone concerned. What do you think is the way forward?
Well, I think we have to, you know, be fighting and working on all these different fronts. I mean, marriage equality is one of the fronts. There's still an array of other issues that LGBT folks are still fighting for, you know, ending workplace discrimination, having adoption laws, you know, gender identity protection. And we have to work on all these fronts. And I think that is happening. So, you know, again, it starts within our community. It starts within our home. And then there's the policy and the politics. And, you know, we have to keep pushing on all those fronts.
Yoruba Richin, thank you for being with us this morning. We appreciate your efforts and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Again, folks, we have just this half hour to offer the pair of tickets to the documentary The New Black. For a $125 sustaining membership, you get a pair of tickets tonight, and you just can get the instructions by calling 202-588-9739. Surely there must be also one caller who might want a copy for themselves of The New Black. That can be obtained for a $65 pledge. And if you really, really, really want to know the work of this marvelous documentarian, she has also offered us a copy of Promised Land. It's a story about two black communities who are trying to regain their land from white farmers in post-apartheid South Africa. That DVD is also available for $65. But to be frank and direct with you, we're only offering these items as thank yous to your becoming a member of WPFW in this hour. You will not have the opportunity afterwards. Take advantage of it by calling 202-588-9739. We're going to take a short break, and we'll have a second guest for our second half hour after this.
E há de sempre a chave para esquecer um falso amor e uma vontade de morrer. Seja como for, há de vencer o grande amor que há de ser.
Good morning, listeners. We're in our Winter Fun Drive here at your Jazz and Justice radio station, WPFW 89.3 FM. I'm your Wednesday host for Community Watch and Comment, David Whetstone. And we have a second guest in our second half hour. He is Peter Levine. Professor Levine is the Lincoln Filene Professor of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Tufts University, way up there in Massachusetts. He's also the director of CIRCLE, that's the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement. Well, he's written a book that fits into our Fun Drive theme. His book is titled, We Are the Ones We Have Been Waiting For, The Promise of Civic Renewal in America. That is an important topic. It involves all the activism that we do here in the metropolitan area. It covers a range of issues. Anyone that is awake, alive, breathing, moving through our country, our city, knows that we're caught in a quagmire where civic engagement is just not the thing of the day. There are discouraging forces making us disheartened. And Dr. Levine is here with us this morning. He'll tell us a little bit more about himself and his book as we dive into this issue. Good morning, Dr. Levine.
Good morning, David. Thanks for having me on.
And thanks for being with us. You have a long career working with grass tops and grassroots groups, trying to activate interested folks in civic engagement. That is such an important issue. And are we in a state where civic engagement matters?
Oh, I think it matters. And I think actually the people listening to this station probably are engaged. A lot of people are engaged, of course, across America. And in fact, in the book, I set a very high standard for what counts as really excellent engagement. I still think that at least a million Americans are involved, and I suspect heavily overlapping with Pacifica radio listeners. So, you know, I assume we're talking to people who are engaged. But, yeah, but then on the other hand, lots and lots of people are not, and many of them are discouraged and shut out, not just lacking interest or concern, but actually prevented from engaging. And so the book is about how we get those of us who are engaged together to try to make space for other people, encourage other people to join us.
And your experience is not uncommon to Washington, D.C., because you were a longtime resident here and were involved with many different organizations here.
Yeah, I mean, I lived in D.C. for 15 years and still feel like it's home in many ways. And in the book, as you know, the D.C. schools become a case study in some ways because... And I talk about them with love because my kids went to D.C. public schools. My wife taught as a reading specialist in DCPS, so I'm not some kind of external bomb thrower. But I think everybody would agree they also need help. And I take that as a kind of example of how, in order to improve a system like the D.C. public schools, we are the ones we've been waiting for. We need everybody involved. It can't be done by a charismatic leader like a Michelle Rhee or anybody else in the central office. It can't be done by breaking up the system and turning it into just a bunch of separate charters. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
And, of course, you now beg the issue since we're talking about a very salient example. But before we do that, we've got to acknowledge your gracious support, and we have copies of your book available for people who become members at a $50 pledge. It's our way of saying thank you. Dr. Levine, I don't want to put you under any pressure, but as we talk about your book, it'll be proof positive that there are important nuts and bolts and things to think about in re-energizing, getting the better and healthier communities that we want. So callers, or listeners rather, call 202-588-9739. Make that $50 pledge, and you will receive a copy of Professor Levine's book, We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For. Professor Levine, you dared start out with the education example here in the District of Columbia. We've had a regime of a chancellor, Michelle Rhee. There were a number of public meetings. I'm sure there were a number of non-public meetings. Can you help us paint a picture using that example of what the components of civic engagement require or need?
Yeah, so one of the reasons I picked the example is because I knew about and cared about the schools. But another reason was that Michelle Rhee was quoted saying, quote unquote, collaboration is overrated. And basically, I think collaboration is way underrated, and that's what we need. So what we need in a system like D.C. And everywhere else is not just more money, because the student per student spending is pretty high compared to the rest of the country, and not just better management, because that won't succeed, but culture change, you know, in the classrooms, with the kids, with the teachers, with the parents. And culture change doesn't mean changing all the people we've got, because many of the people are doing wonderful work. It means building on that and transforming our expectations and our practices. So that takes everybody. It doesn't take literally everybody, but it takes a broad movement and a broad deliberation, a broad discussion.
You use the word deliberation quite often. That's not a word that renders excitement for most folks. Yeah. What do you mean by deliberation?
I understand that it's not a very exciting word, but I'm sticking with it anyway because I think it's important. So, in fact, in the book, I say there's really three core things that citizenship is made of: deliberation, collaboration, and civic relationships. Deliberation is getting together with people who may be different from you and deciding what we should do. Doesn't have to be formal. Doesn't have to be a meeting at the convention center, although that is useful. But it's got to be a discussion with people who are different from yourself about what we should do. Collaboration is actually rolling up your sleeves and doing what you said you were going to do. And relationships, civic relationships, are the relationships we form with people who do that work together with us. So I'm saying that all those three things are necessary if we're going to do something like improve outcomes for kids in D.C.
We're talking to Peter Levine. He is a scholar of civic engagement, how to get people involved in public action to the benefit of many, many communities and one another. His book is We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For. That is also matching with our theme that you are the ones we've been waiting for. Won't you make a pledge and become a member of WPFW today by calling 202-588-9739?
That is the phone number to call, 202-588-9739. Give us a call and pledge your support, folks, at the $50 level. We are the ones we've been waiting for. A book about civic engagement. And as the good professor said, many in our audience are engaged, but then there are those who also are not. We would like you to engage not only civically, but with this station and interact by supporting it financially. I want to remind you that we had the brilliant film, The New Black, in the last hour. So if you pledge at the $120 level during this hour at any time, we will include not only the tickets to see the film tonight, The New Black, we will also include this book, We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For, at the pledge level of $120. We will only have four of those available, so you need to make that phone call and put it on your MasterCard, American Express, or Visa, whichever card, or Discover card even, but make that pledge of support. And the way that sustaining membership works is you give us that credit card number, and we, over the next 12 months, will simply take out $10 a month, and you won't even know that it's missing, and you will have sustained this station, and you are the ones we have been waiting for. 202-588-9739. Give us a call.
Yes, and Dr. Levine, so you've talked about these three components. Once again, they're deliberation, collaboration, and civic relationships. In your book, you talk about the fact that people come together in good faith, but many, many situations, and in fact, you alluded to it, that there have been these big meetings, one city summits at the convention center, and many, many participants don't feel like they're equally heard or listened to. deliberation throughout your book is not just cute debates that are abstract that lead to no actions. They're a sense of trying to approach deep listening and then taking action. Are we really caught in a quagmire? I mean, the current politics, both here in the district and nationally, is to really use polarized positions to get what you want. Are we really stuck in that place?
Well, I think we have very serious obstacles. I don't think we're completely stuck. If we were completely stuck, we would give up, and that would be terrible. But I think we do face serious obstacles. There are, for one thing, there are many people who don't understand or get the advantages of a civic attitude towards change. And then there are people who would actually like to squelch them, crush it. So, for example, huge amounts of money being spent billion dollars being spent on campaign commercials in an election cycle, which are all designed to polarize and inflame. And it's the combination of the fact that the money is private and being used by private actors to try to get what they want. And then the outcomes, which are to make us angry and divide us. It's terrible. And you know, that amount of investment, if you want to call it that, $1 billion in awful discourse is what we're struggling against. So you put that up against a really valuable community meeting, a good discussion on a Pacifica radio station. I mean, the big dollars are on the other side. But I do think we have some assets, and we do need to fight back.
And speaking of assets, I'm sorry to be a little cheesy, but I want people to take advantage of really your resource, which is a marvelous book, We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For. You can make a $50 pledge and receive a copy of that. Just before you, in the first half hour, we dealt with gay issues, same-sex marriage in the black church. Like your book, that documentary, The New Black, is talking about good faith efforts and honest communication, and that's what we try to do here at WPFW. So, listeners, won't you make a call, become a member, and pledge today at 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. We're only trying to offer these thank you gifts for your sustaining us in this hour. It is important that you call. The operators, or our volunteers, rather, are waiting. They know what to do. They will treat you with the utmost respect. Please call at 202-588-9739.
And that's just a pledge level of $50 to receive We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For. 202-588-9739. Let's get five people calling now. We have a limited number of these books. They have been generously donated by Dr. Levine, by Professor Levine. And so take advantage of that offer now. You will do two things. You will not only edify yourself and educate yourself, you will also support and sustain this station. If you want to pledge at the sustainer level, that's at the $120 level, we will send you out not only this book, we will also send you put your name on list for a pair of tickets to go tonight to see The New Black. It is at West End Cinema at 23rd and M Streets in Northwest. That's available to you at the pledge level of $120. When you put that on your credit card, we will simply take out $10 a month. You can get to the movie. It starts before the snow. You can go there and get back home.
And it'll probably finish before the snow.
And we'll probably finish before the snow as well. 202-588-9739. Support this. And again, David makes the valid point that both of these items are about conversation, about us starting with a deep listening and a deep conversation, not just talking, but also the listening, so that we can decide these solutions, how we find these solutions together. 202-588-9739.
On that last point, Tony Bates, if you feel listened to, you feel empowered. Usually it means connectivity. It usually means support. Listeners, call and become a member today. You won't regret it. That's 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. Professor Levine, you mentioned a very ominous word or topic as you close your book, and that is the notion of network, the network. What is the network for you? How does it relate to civic engagement?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think there's a huge number of people out there doing great civic work, typically in a particular neighborhood or a particular community and or in an issue area like school reform or environment. They're not really very well networked with each other yet. So there are these bigger issues about why civic engagement is so marginal and so difficult in our society. Why does a radio station which promotes discussion have to struggle so hard to raise the money to stay afloat, while a TV station that promotes division makes a ton of money. So there are these broader issues. That's just an example, but there are these broader issues. And we're not really networked yet with a kind of democracy or civic movement where people would take some time not only to think about the specific issue or the specific community they're working on, but think about together and work on the conditions that face us all. So, and so I'm really calling, and that in some ways the pitch here, to apart from the fact that people should support your station, is also, I assume most listeners are civically engaged, are doing their best in their own community. What I'm asking them to do is start to network with people who are in different communities and in different issue areas to think about the context in which that we all face.
One of your concerns, as well as mine, and I'm sure many listeners, is the influence of big money on elections and the political process and governance, all three things across the board. And your book, you know, you really present it humbly. It's not like the answer-all. You're really pointing out dynamics, necessary relationships, and certain essential components about messaging and convincing people. And on those latter two, by the way, you're not suggesting those as quick techniques. You're really talking again about establishing relationships that are purposing to build healthy communities. And I want to give you an opportunity to answer and extend that more, but I also want to remind listeners that they should become a member today. If you engage us, the things that you believe that are good, along with other people who believe that those things are good, will develop and grow. You can do that by calling 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. For $50, you help the station sustain itself, and you get our thank you gift to you of Peter Levine's book, We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For. Why don't you make that call now?
You know, David, I was at Occupy Wall Street almost every day of the occupation in New York, and one of the keys to that, and what made it so exciting, was the conversation. And in that conversation, people began to realize that coming even from, you know, divergent political points of view, as far as Ron Paul to the right, all the way to as left of Huey P. Newton, people found that they had commonalities. And I think that's what the professor is getting to here, is that when we have that conversation, and even if we're coming from differing points of view, and even if we're working in different areas politically, when we come together, we find that we do have those commonalities and that we can work together toward a bettering of the whole. And that's what we are looking for here, and we are the ones we've been waiting for, and why we offer you this kind of material. And remember, folks, it's not about the books that we offer you or the CDs or the tickets. It is about supporting a station that can have this conversation and have it in long form to actually hear the ideas of Professor Levine, not just two-minute sound bites. Because of your pledges of support over these last 37 years, we've been able to present this kind of material and other material that simply gets short shrift in the mainstream media. Well, not here at WPFW, not here at 89.3 FM. We are able to do this because of your pledges of support. So let's keep that going. 202-588-9739. We want to finish talking to the professor, but we also have to be about the business of raising money to support this station. So make those calls so that we can keep our talking short and his talking long. 202-588-9739. A $50 pledge for We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For. If you pledge at the $120 level, the sustainer level, we will send you not only the book, but a few of you will be able to get a pair of tickets tonight to see The New Black. It is the LGBT film. It's about our LGBT issues in the black community. It's at West End Cinema tonight at 7 p.m. at 23rd and M Street Northwest.
Yeah, it's the start. It's the debut film for the Human Rights Watch Film Festival that will go on for every Wednesday at 7 p.m. until March 12th.
It's a long time.
Yeah, and we're appreciating the support of West End Cinema. We're appreciating the support of Professor Peter Levine and his publisher, Oxford University Press. His book, We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For, or We Have Been Waiting For. Let me not use the contraction there.
We should probably I was going to say we should probably admit that neither of us, neither you nor I, invented that phrase, that it goes back to June Jordan in the 1970s and probably even before into the Civil Rights Movement.
I believe it goes all the way back to Native Americans, actually. It's a Native American quote, as I understand, but we don't have to get into those aspects.
Well, it's everybody's
plug. Professor Levine discusses that at the end of his book, by the way. So if you want a little short snapshot of that history, again, pledge $50, listeners, and become a member today. Do that by calling 202-588-9739. Professor,
may I enter?
Sure.
You know what I'm curious about? Having been at Occupy Wall Street, how do we...
He talks about that, so go ahead
There you go. How do we re-engage those people whose intention was to remain outside of the system while they were acting civically, as it were? They were acting... In a civic manner and in a communal manner, but they had no intention of being involved in the context of the general body politic. How do we engage those people, Professor Levine?
Yeah. I mean, I think they were part of the civic renewal movement, but I'm worried that they couldn't sustain what they were doing and that they weren't connected enough to the political system. I think if I had engaged more with them, and I didn't that much, to be honest, I would have been on the side of those who within Occupy who said we've got to think about institutional reforms and be willing to compromise on some of them. My understanding is that, for example, some Occupy people were in favor of what's called participatory budgeting, where communities turn over a certain proportion of their budgets to public meetings, and some thought it was a sellout. And so in that debate, I would have been very much in favor of the participatory budgeting, because it's the kind of thing that's a hard, ongoing, sustained opportunity for civic engagement.
And talking about sustaining, the hour is coming to a close, folks. We really do need your calls. I want to be up front and say, Professor Levine packed out Busboys and Poets at 14th and V quite a few weeks ago when he came down and talked about this. There are very, very good, solid, concrete ideas in his book. We would love to thank you when you join with us with a $50 pledge to become a member. Call 202-588-9739. Don't miss out on this resource. It is only offered in this hour. Once we come to the end of the show, you're just going to have a minute or two to grab a hold of it, and you won't regret it. Professor Levine, you've mentioned a few steps as a way out. I'm mindful as a parent that even in our high schools, being educated to know that you can act in your community along with others and make a change is not something that's emphasized. Yes, there are community service hours, but everything seems very rote. What might be a closing word that you have for us?
Well, that's a good way to end. I mean, we need to have a civic education. Actually, I work on this a lot as part of my day job. We need to have a civic education system for our kids that prepares them to be involved in and inspires them and excites them to be involved with deliberation, collaboration, and civic relationships instead of just memorizing how a bill becomes a law, which is what we tend to do.
And in fact, I was listening to your current politician mock Schoolhouse Rock and say bills don't become laws that way anymore. So
true.
That was a sad, sad note.
True.
But we're not going to end on sadness. We have much more programming coming up. But Dr. Peter Levine, author of We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For, thank you so much for your time with us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me. I enjoyed the conversation.
So we've come to the end of our hour, folks. We need you to become a member. We need your engagement now. If you engage us, we engage you, and then we engage our communities.
They are the ones we've been waiting for, David.
Yes. So let's
for the whole hour.
And let's do that. I'm not going to believe that no one is interested in this. It is the nuts and bolts of many, many groups that have been here in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And many of those members have seen Dr. Levine. They've debated with him. They've wrestled over issues. They've formulated programs. They've taken action. That's important. Become a member today. Call 202-588-9739.
202-588-9739. In this final few minutes of the program, folks, we need to hear from you. Make that call. Make that pledge of support. Don't forget that you can also pledge at WPFWFM.org. And again, it isn't the books or the tickets or anything else that we're offering. It's not about that. It's about this kind of critically critical thinking programming that you get at 9 a.m. when David is here every week. He volunteers to come here. He puts in great effort to bring you really intelligent guests, really intelligent conversation. That's what we're asking you to support. 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. We will accept your American Express, your MasterCard, your Visa, your Discover, but it's only a $50 pledge for the book We Are the Ones You've Been Waiting For. And don't forget, the books have been donated. That means that your pledge of support goes further. Your dollars go further during this hour. Also, at the pledge level of $120, if you want to pledge at that level, we will send you not only the book, we can provide a pair of tickets for you to go to the screening tonight of The New Black, a film discussing the relationship between the church, the black church, and the LGBT community. It's showing at the West End Cinema tonight at 7 p.m. at 23rd and M Street. It starts and likely ends before the snow. 202-588-9739. Make that pledge of support. And thank you so much for listening and supporting David Whetstone and Community Watch and Comment on 89.3 FM.
Thank you. As always, make it a great day for you and for others.
This is Donnie McKethan of the American Songbook. You're listening to member-supported WPFW, Washington.
Fazendo um ano e meio, amor, que o nosso lar desmoronou. Meu sabiá, meu violão e uma cruel desilusão foi tudo que ficou. Ficou pra machucar meu coração.